Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. This is the most important thing you can listen to today.
On today's episode of Capital Hacking.
If you've got happy tenants, then you've got happy investors, right? They go hand in hand. A lot of people are all about the investors, but don't forget about our tenants, because we are in the business of creating homes for people. And we can't forget about that side. We're not just in the business of making money. We're in the business of making homes.
Here's the one.
I have a dream.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I can do this all day.
This is it. Don't get scared now.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Cinderella story out of nowhere.
It's in the home.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Capital Hacking begins in 3, 2.
Welcome back to Capital Hacking. This is Josh McCallum with my new voice. And Eric, how are you doing?
Well, hello there, Josh McCallum.
I know. Someday we'll get over these voice problems. But hey, we are in the middle of our sequence of shows that were filmed live in Tennessee.
I like to call them the Capital Hacking X tour, because it's an extended version of what we do here in the studio in New Jersey.
Yeah, and Anna Myers was on the show, and she's part of the Grow Capitalist group. Remember we met Neil Bawa before? He was a great interview.
Yeah, and so was Anna. Both absolutely brilliant minds.
Yeah, and like we said before, they have this great, they're going to teach us all about attracting the right community through education. They're also going to teach us all kinds of analytical-based investing. I think you're going to really enjoy this tenacious powerhouse, Anna Myers. So, Anna Myers, welcome to pot. We call it Capital Hacking X.
Yes. I love that.
Assignment.
Anything with hacking, I'm all about. Yeah. I'm a total hacker.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you for coming. It's like life hacking 2.0. Not only do we want to come up with cool things like Neil was, your partner was sharing with us before, mm-hmm. but also we want to find maximum efficiency for the investors that we partner
with.
So
about maximum efficiency. You speaking to the right people.
We really are. Now, we've gotten to meet this young lady because she is a famous speaker at the Bigger Pockets Conference. We're still on assignment, right, Eric?
Yes, absolutely. Bigger Pockets. I always say it's their first conference, because to me it's their first, but it is technically their second. But we're here in the Gaylord Opry in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're so excited and grateful for Anna to say yes to come to our studio right before the conference begins.
Yeah. And we catch you right before you go on the big stage today. Yes. I think it's today, but
it's actually
matter.
Tomorrow. But it's super exciting anyway, right? It's the first day of the big conference, and it's great energy here at the Gaylord Opryland, which is an amazing location. If anyone hasn't been there,
oh my goodness.
Whoa, this place is stunning. Like just
shocking, yeah.
Just a
phenomenal
just a
location.
Little shout out. You're absolutely right. This is a Marriott property that feels like a casino, the scale of it, without this casino floor.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of Disneyland feel, you know? It's just so magical and over the top.
Yeah,
it's unexpected.
Like, it's way unexpected to me, too.
Yeah. So what we like to do, Anna, is at the beginning of our show, we want to really get to know you. So
absolutely.
We ask for, you know, what was that entrepreneurial bug that bit you early in life that made you realize, you know, maybe in hindsight, you know what? I always had this in me to be my own, to be a business owner. So what was that moment for you?
Well, I guess I would start out by saying I've always been entrepreneurial. So even though I worked corporate jobs in my life, I was I had an S corp from very early on. So I always worked for myself. Yes. So I don't have a very, I haven't had a W-2. Even in my 20s, I had an S corp. So,
what was your specialty?
In tech, I was a programmer and then became a systems architect.
Wow.
So I'm like a, very organized person, always into like modeling and data. But the entrepreneurial spirit in me really goes back to the fact that my grandfather is a commercial real estate entrepreneur. He was a real maverick in Southern California.
Wow.
So I'm the youngest of 16 grandchildren born into this environment that my grandfather had created. He was actually a flipper that he lived in Tampa. He saw what was going on the West Coast in California. He sold what he had there and moved to California. He started buying up houses and flipping them. This is like in the 40s.
Yeah, that's so revolutionary.
And building up a portfolio. And over time, she started buying walnut groves and orange groves, and as a developer, started developing shopping malls.
Oh, wow.
So when I was a kid, I, you know, would go to Grandpa's shopping mall, you know, and go ice skating and go to his. So, and my father's an architect and a developer, and my uncles were general construction as well. Mm-hmm. So I was raised in an entrepreneurial family. My, you know, their mantra was always, you know, it's not what you make, it's what you keep. And, you know, so, when we look at buying a property, we're like, how do I 1031 into that? Like, just always have had a different idea about how to do it. And I've got lots of brothers and sisters as well. So we all think that way.
How big's your family?
Well, I'm the youngest of five. Then I have two step siblings. Wow. So there's seven of us.
That's a big family.
Yeah. Big family.
Grew up in California.
Yep. Grew up in Southern California. And then, all my older cousins and all, they were all working at the architecture office and the commercial real estate office. Right. And so my parents were always like, well, what are you going to do? Right? Because I am the type of person, I have a very strong art side and a very strong science side. So they were like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to figure your way out in life? Like, they didn't know which way I was going to go. Well, what happened is I actually had a child very young.
Okay.
So I had a single parent as a teenager. And that made me get serious very quickly.
It can be such a blessing to have a struggle like that.
Yeah. So I had graduated from high school, and I actually was going to college at UC Berkeley. And so what I decided at that point was to become a programmer. Computers were becoming, you know, like the next best thing. Mm-hmm. And so as a programmer, I could make a really good hourly wage and continue. So I went to school 3 days a week and worked as a programmer 2 days a week and was able to raise my child.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So that's why, that's the why in terms of IT. But I also, that's why I didn't start out as an artist, right? Mm-hmm. And I figured, well, I could always, you know, by programming, I could pay for diapers, you know, pay yep. for my rent. And I could afford film because I was really into photography. So
when you say afford film, you mean
buying film for my camera.
You actually mean just the
actual photography,
buying film,
chemicals,
and processing film. Because processing is expensive. It's super expensive. And so, and I needed to document my child's life. So I was always taking pictures of my child. Wow. Right. And then anyway, so fast forward, I have this great career in IT. I've become a systems architect. I'm speaking at conferences worldwide, running these huge platforms for Sybase. And then what happened is the tech industry crashed in 2000. I don't know if you guys are in
2000.
2000. Y2K.
Yes. Well, it was right after Y2K.
It wasn't actually. Yeah.
It wasn't. Yeah. So the industry pretty much crashed, and it had really to do with outsourcing because everything was being outsourced, right? And so then the local talent, they were saying, hey, we can replace you with, you know, pennies on the dollar, right? So as a consultant, because remember, I never worked at W2, I was always an entrepreneurial person, they were like, you know, we're going to reduce your consulting to this. Mm. And I'm like, not happening, guys. At that point, I'd gotten married, okay, to a guy that was also in IT. Okay. So the crash really hit our household hard. Yeah. And my husband didn't have any other, he was a network engineering systems guy. He didn't have anything else that he could do. So I had no choice but to open a photography studio.
Oh, that's how you did it.
Your passion, one of your passions, right?
Yes,
you finally
yes.
got to realize it. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I switched to photography. I bought all digital equipment. That was kind of my in. And I already was an expert in Photoshop and, very good in business. So I opened a photography studio in the San Francisco Bay Area. And
what was your specialty?
That. People.
People.
I'm
portraits.
A people photographer. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You mean like portraits and...
Yeah. I used to do everything at once, you know, as a generalist. And then I narrowed down to what was the most efficient, right? Which was portraits because it made the most dollars per hour. Yeah. And I didn't have to work weekends because I still had children and family.
Yeah.
So, and I outsourced, by the way, I had my designers, my retouchers were in the Ukraine. And so I, you know, it was all about maximum efficiency from the very beginning because I was running teams that were all over the world as an IT person. And then I just continued to do that as a photographer. So then I satisfied that art side of me.
Yeah. And perfect timing because you got back into it when digital started to rise and like processing all of that stuff, all the messy stuff started to go away. Right?
Yeah, it was a while, but it was my way in was to have that. And it was phenomenal to be able to do that and have like a full career in both. But what happened is that, so I had a very successful studio and I realized that I was just getting slaughtered with taxes. It's like the more I made, the more I had to pay. It was just ridiculous. I'm like, I am just working for the government. Just sign me up. You know, they're just, you know.
Anna shows her bloodline. She's like, take it right out of my bloodline.
So I'm like, I have to solve this problem. This is just draining me. And so I went back to my roots and said, of course, I need to buy real estate and invest in real estate to help with my taxes.
Well, those are, that right there is a little bit of a jump for me. And I just want to drill in because you are incredible. So you're obviously, your family knows how to build buildings and build development and all
that. Right. And there was always investments going on in the background.
Oh, and you said your family always taught you.
Yeah. And my grandfather had a very large portfolio. Yes. And so in the background, there's, you know, my family still has a commercial portfolio. They've got, everybody's always buying rentals.
I got it. So you just knew it as a life.
Yeah. So
I, no book, not like one pivotal book or a friend that you met that helped you transition.
No, I would say that was my family that was on that side. But interestingly enough, my father was always very much like, be careful with real estate, be careful with real estate, because they'd been through such bad cycles.
Yeah. Well, California always peak. And then often would there be like a little setback? And because we've always known California to be unbelievably priced. I mean,
yeah.
Of course.
And so I always bought out of state, by the way.
Did you?
So when I bought out of state. So I've always been struggling to find the best markets, right? And again, I'm very data oriented. So how do you find the best markets? That's been just this driving force for me, because I never invested in California other than my primary house.
Yeah. So can you share some of that? Because our audience and I personally would love to hear your thoughts about how you identify like ripe markets.
Sure. So you know, now I'm a full-time syndicator, by the way. You know, fast forward a little bit more, right? Now I'm a full-time syndicator. I'm partnered with Neil Bawa, who's also a technologist. So together as technologists, we bring data science to real estate. So we apply extreme data analytics to everything we do. And in finding markets, we look at many of the things that you hear lots of people talking about. You know, we're looking for markets that have jobs. We're looking for markets that have population increase. We never invest in a market that's losing population. It's just a no-go for us. So from a market standpoint, you know, we're looking for these trajectories, right? But then we don't stop there. We are focused also on the micro neighborhood, right? So from the micro neighborhood level, we're looking at median household income. We're looking at poverty level, unemployment, cost of housing. So it's very specific metrics that we're looking for to make sure that our tenants can afford to pay the rent. That, you know, there's a tenant base that's going to be a positive tenant base for our building. Now, I'm not saying we're looking for the most expensive neighborhood, because we're not. We're looking for that sweet spot where we're going to be able to cash flow, but our tenants can afford to pay us rent. And there's data that you can look at that will give you that best foot forward. So first, find your market by looking at job trends. And there's websites that you can look at that will show you who has the highest jobs in the nation consistently year over year. I think it's departmentofnumbers.com. Mm. So if you go to departmentofnumbers.com, and then it's like a table of data, but you can sort it, and you're gonna sort by the column that's indicating the growth percentage. And you'll see this then, and keep tracking it. So bookmark that and keep looking at what markets are bringing the jobs, right? You'll see markets like Reno are really up there. Very, very high. Reno's been very high. Las Vegas, Phoenix, off the charts with job growth. And then a market that many people have never really heard of before, St. George, Utah.
I've learned of it from you. No, I had not heard of it until you told me about
it. St. George, Utah is one of the fastest growing metros in the United States. Job growth is off the hook there.
Enlighten us. What's happening
there? What would be driving that?
You know, it's about 90 minutes from Las Vegas. So it's Utah, but it's the southernmost city in Utah. So it's not a snowy area of Utah. It's actually a sunny area of Utah. And what's coming in there is, and it's got a university, Dixie State, which has become, you know, has really increased in their offerings. So that's become popular. But a lot of retirees are moving to St. George, and that brings a lot of services to St. George. they don't necessarily have like a tech bubble there. Like Provo, for example, has Silicon Slopes and these other areas. So I'm not going to tell you there's a Silicon St. George because there isn't. But there just is a lot of businesses moving in there. And the retirees have a lot to do with it. But if you look at job growth in there, it's crazy. So what happens when you have all job growth, and with jobs comes population, right? Because people are looking for good jobs. So you've got job growth and population. Now we're multifamily, so we're all about occupancy. Do you know what the occupancy is in St. George, the average occupancy?
Average occupancy rate in St. George. I'm guessing it's good since you're bringing it up. I'll send 75%.
No occupancy. So.
What do you mean?
For your multifamily, you want your occupancy in a good market. You're like 90. You want to look at like 94% and above. So that means you've got 6% vacancy on average in the market. That's a strong market. Very strong market. 94, 95, solid markets. St. George, the occupancy is 98.8%. We just did a market study there. 99.2%.
Yeah. That's impossible to believe. Oh my gosh.
0.8% vacancy.
More housing.
They need more housing. They need more housing. So that's why we're investing in St. George. But we were not able to find, we were looking for multifamily. Neil and I went out to St. George. We're like scouring the older multifamilies. Everybody's overcharging for them because why would you want to sell your multifamily if it's 100% occupied and you can continue to raise rent? I mean, rent growth is like year over year is tremendous because there's not enough places to live, right?
Right.
So we instead partnered with a developer. So we are actually building 116 units in St. George because if you can't find something existing and you can get the right price for building, and we're partnered with a vertically integrated developer.
Nice.
So that way we're able to save a lot of prices, save a lot of costs, and they're partnered with us for the long term. So great project. And it has another twist that we love in multifamily. When our partner bought the land, he was able to get it grandfathered in as the last parcel that included short-term rental regulation.
Oh, I see.
Oh, wow.
And the other thing that's next to St. George is Zion National Park. So Zion is a huge vacation destination,
oh, okay.
Right? It's gorgeous. Have you ever seen it?
I've heard of it.
Look it up. I mean, it's just the red rocks.
Yeah.
It's just eye candy.
And how far is it away?
It's like 45 minutes from St. George. So St. George is like the largest, big city near.
Mm-hmm.
So we are building 116 units, but 24 of those units are going to be offset from the rest of the community and targeted for vacation rental.
Oh, I see.
And then our clubhouse is being designed so that part of the clubhouse facilitates the short-term rentals. So,
Well done.
Yeah, so we're mixing media here. We're mixing things up.
Is this the first project of this type for you as a developer?
We have another one that's going to come up in Mesa that's very similar. Mm. But we aren't, this isn't our first development project.
Gotcha.
So in our portfolio, which is about 2,000 units, it's growing very fast. I can't even keep track of the numbers. But I would say about 60% is value add and 40% is new construction.
Wow.
Well, I mean, we usually take a break, but you think, oh, it's because these guys are trying to fit a nice little sponsorship in. No, it's because we got to catch our breath.
Yes, we'll be right back.
Are you ready to invest in real estate but don't have the time or enough education to do it by yourself? Accountable Equity helps accredited investors who are looking for tax-advantaged investments. So anyone looking for a team of professionals who hold themselves accountable with theirs and your real estate investments, Accountable Equity is your boots-on-the-ground team. Their mission is to bring private offerings to their investors and their clients. With a team of committed and experienced investors themselves, Accountable Equity is always looking for partners to participate in alternative investments which extend beyond publicly traded equities like stocks. Accountable Equity makes alternative passive cash flow possible for more people than ever before in our economy. To find out more, visit AccountableEquity.com. That's AccountableEquity.com. Or look for them on LinkedIn or Facebook. That's AccountableEquity.com or Accountable Equity. That's Accountable Equity, your partner for true passive real estate investments.
Guys, this is Josh here. Melanie and I have something important to share. A little while ago, we learned a big life-changing truth. And that is that you need to have control over your own capital. It was actually the cash flow ninja, MC Laubscher, who showed us, our own family, how to set up our own banking system. I know. It's hard to understand. So what MC did is he put together a webinar that will change your life like it changed Melanie and mine. So through the Infinite Banking System, you can create and control your own banking system to leverage your own capital to grow your own business, supercharge your investments. In this free webinar, MC will share how to set up your own banking system. The website is incredibly easy. It's yourownbankingsystem.com. Yourownbankingsystem.com.
This is MC Lobster, the Cash Flow Ninja, and you're listening to the Capital Hacking Podcast.
So we're back to Capital Hacking with Anna Myers. So Anna, we've first of all, we grabbed you last night when we were at the Bigger Pockets conference, and I said, I've got to ask you, would you be on the, without our hands? We did not use our hands. Just
no. Okay. I'll correct that. I walked into a situation where you guys were already right into a hugging mode.
Oh, so maybe
we were, yes, I would call it a huddle.
There was a hug.
There was no physical contact. We, you know, Neil and I.
Yeah, we're all good people.
We were
but
like
it was beautiful.
And a group huddle, right?
Yeah, because we were going over some interesting things. And then I think maybe that was when we said, we've got to do the interview tomorrow.
Yeah, 100%.
And so we grabbed you. You're at the Capital Hacking X studio in the conference, inside the Bigger Pockets conference,
Nashville, Tennessee.
And this is why, well, first of all, let's go ahead and talk about your speech. Your presentation is one of a kind here, and it's on opportunity zones. Now, we have an audience that actually has a little bit of knowledge of opportunity zones. So maybe we can just hit you with an angle. What is the key thing you want to give to the audience tomorrow when you give your opportunity zone speech?
Sure. Well, a lot of people, first of all, most people don't understand opportunity zones. Let's just establish that.
That is true.
There's so much misinformation out there. But my speech tomorrow not only explains the basics of opportunity zones, but it's about the five perils of opportunity zones. Because again, we're trying to say, so many people are so excited about opportunity zones. They hear the word tax benefits and tax free, and their eyes just light up and their brain shuts down, and they aren't understanding the perils of, so the regulations are set up a very specific way. And because of those, so if you're going to buy a project, or if you are going to buy into an opportunity zone fund, there's very specific things that you need to be aware of and look out for so that you end up being successful. So I can hit, okay, so I'm going to assume your audience understands the three tax incentives. Tax.
We do, but you're fast. Would you mind just saying them again? We think most of them have heard it because we've had some experts on.
Excellent.
And
excellent.
We thank God, Melanie and I and the team here, we've done an opportunity zone fund. So sometimes we've shared that on the radio.
Okay.
I call this the radio, even though it's a podcast, but go ahead.
Okay. So two things. As an investor, as a passive investor, or I guess as the active person, the three benefits of opportunity zones are, number one, tax deferral. So you defer paying your capital gain that you're bringing in. By the way, you have to bring in a capital gain. If it's only cash, you don't get any of the benefits. So the capital gain that you're bringing in gets deferred for up to 7 years. You don't have to pay the capital gain until April of 2027. If you are, and then the second benefit is step down in basis. So if you are 7 years out, then you get a reduction of the amount of capital gains you'd be paying by 15%. Now, if you don't invest in an opportunity zone fund for another 2 years or so, now you're no longer 7 years or 5 years, that goes to 10%. And eventually it gets to zero, right? So it's a step down, right? So those are two big ones. And a lot of people look at those two and they're like, yeah, that wasn't what I was expecting. That's not very exciting. Well, the exciting one is the third one. The third one is that, first of all, you have to hold the project for 10 years. Can't come out earlier than that. Assuming you hold it for 10 years, all of the appreciation that you gain on that project, on that property, once you sell 10 years and a day after your first investment or later, then that capital gain is tax-free forever. And when you do the numbers and you look at comparing an opportunity zone investment versus a regular investment where you paid taxes on the capital gains and then you did it is astronomically different, the amount of money that you will make in an opportunity zone situation versus non-OZ. It's like a 60% increase. It's very dramatic. So that gets people so excited. But one thing that a lot of people don't understand is, from the project standpoint, what is required. And the key thing there is the word substantial improvement. So when you purchase an opportunity zone project, or you are investing in one through a fund, the operator of that has to substantially improve the project. And what that means is if, for example, they had a $1 million property that they purchased and the building on the property was valued at $750 and the land was deemed $250, they have to bring in another $750K on top of that $1 million to substantially improve the project. So whatever the value of the building is, they've got to improve it that much. A lot of people don't understand that, and when I tell them that, the wind gets sucked out of the room.
Well, and let's explain why, because a lot of times you and I are in audiences where people want to buy multifamilies.
Right.
And multifamilies, the whole business is you're trying to buy cash flow.
You're trying to buy cash flow,
so you're not really looking to redevelop it.
Right, and they're trying to do a value-add scenario. And what we like to say is there is not enough lipstick you can put on that pig.
There's not enough. You wouldn't want to spend, you bought a $10 million multifamily and most of that was the building.
Right.
You would not want to invest another $10 million to make it prettier.
It just doesn't make any sense, right? It makes no sense. So unless you had a whole additional parcel on the back and then you were going to build another building.
That's true.
What we're talking about here is not a value add play. We're talking about development. We're talking about construction.
Correct.
And so again, this is a mind shift for people that think about Opportunity Zone. They're like, I'm not a developer. I don't know how to do that. Like now that's a whole thing that they're going to back away from. So that's where we get into the perils, understanding those two premises, right? So if you are building, so we all understand that Opportunity Zones are census tracts with lower incomes. So let's, you know, so that's the basis of them. We're trying to incentivize capital to go in and improve those areas.
Yep.
So now we're talking about new development in lower income areas. And that can be a mismatch.
Exactly.
If you're building a Class A building in a Class C area, that's a challenge.
Exactly.
Okay? So one of the things that, so how do you avoid that? Well, of those 8,700, over 8,700 Opportunity Zones, over 19% of them are in already gentrifying areas.
Oh.
They are not considered lower income if you look at them. There are Opportunity Zones in San Francisco.
Oh my gosh.
There are Opportunity Zones in San Jose. There are Opportunity Zones in Provo, Utah. You look at those locations and you're like, there is no way. Why is this an Opportunity Zone? Well, it was designated by the state governor and certified by the U.S. Treasury.
Right, something.
So we can wonder, you know, but the fact is that those 8,700 census tracts are out there for all of us to pick and choose from.
Wow.
So choose wisely
because
you don't have to be in an area that is significantly lower income, right?
Well, and I don't, you know, I think you are, to give you credit, that is exactly right. You should do the analytics before
you would do
the investment.
So we're all about the data analytics. So again, we're very specific about our markets and we apply that to our Opportunity Zones. So we're out there looking for the best Opportunity Zone markets so that we can protect our investors' capital, right?
Exactly.
Because we're coming in there as you know, developers that we're partnered with and creating great value for our investors. But we want to start with the best leg forward. And that starts with data.
We, you know, that is a fantastic deep dive into Opportunity Zone. I know.
Yes. Well, there's more information. Do you have more Opportunity Zone information on your website and on your
educational
platform?
In fact, okay, get this. Okay. I got a good one for you. We have, just like we have a real estate toolkit that Neil told you about,
yes,
we have put together an OZ toolkit.
Awesome.
So if you go to our website, I can tell you right now, you can text OZ toolkit, OZTOOLKIT to 44222.
Okay.
Okay.
One more time.
44222. That's the number to text,
mm-hmm,
and type the word OZ toolkit. And by doing that, you will get free access. There's no catch. There's no gimmick. Ooh. You'll get free access to a ton of information. You'll get an ebook about the five perils. I only talked about one, and I only talked about the answer to half of one. I mean, again, you got to come to my speech at Bigger
Absolutely.
Pockets to hear the whole
thing.
Well,
that's the tease.
Yeah. But at the OZ Toolkit, you'll have an ebook that has all of them. There's two webinars on there. There's a calculator on there. There's all kinds of reports. So we've created this repository of awesome knowledge about OZ. And again, it's free because that's how we are. We're abundance mindset.
Yes.
We love
too.
To give guys, away information.
You guys are great educators. And people can find that on multifamilyu.com.
If you just text, worry about where it is, just text the word OZ toolkit to 44222. We will magically take you there.
Yeah. I love Anna. You guys are, you and Neil. Now we should say in the past episodes, we've had your partner on the podcast.
Yeah.
And the two of you are dynamos.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are just dynamic.
We're,
as a matter of fact, Podmax is coming out to see you guys.
Yes, yeah, and we love that.
We're coming to spread the love and be a part of your community because, I think it's a perfect fit. Yeah, we could really, really benefit all together.
Everybody.
You know, big Halo.
Yeah,
fest.
Well, so Capital Hacking, you know, I love the name and Neil and I are total hackers.
Yes. You really are.
And we're
truly,
total
you
hackers.
Really
we
are.
Haven't,
literally.
We haven't even gotten into
that. Is true.
Okay, let me give you one more
please,
OZ
please,
tip.
Please, please.
Okay, this is an OZ hack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I've got so many, we'll have to talk another time about asset management and all that other stuff we were talking about offline. Okay, here's an OZ hack. When you are looking at a census tract, so say you found that market, right? You've used your data, you found that area that's gentrifying. Where in the census tract do you invest?
True.
Okay, where? Within that census tract.
So if it's a circle, you're saying, do you go in the dead middle or do you go to the edge?
Yeah. Exactly. Remember, what's around the census tract?
Of course.
Around the census tract are areas that have higher levels of income. Mm-hmm. So we invest on the OZ edges.
Edge.
Love and it. That is a terminology. That is we came up with that, by the way. If you ever hear it anywhere else,
trademark.
Okay, my partner's brain explodes about 17 times a day. And that was one of his little explosions was OZ edges. And so our project, in fact, our project in Provo, Utah, that's Millrace, fantastic project, transit-oriented development. It is on the edge of an opportunity zone.
Oh, I've seen, by the way, guys, if you haven't seen their work, that's the only reason we want to give your website out, Anna.
It's a gorgeous project, isn't it?
The projects you do are fantastic.
Gorgeous.
And you do them with partners.
We
and
do.
Maybe that's where we can kind of land the ship here because you guys are so dynamos and we're learning about your company. It's called Grow Capitus.
Grow Capitus is the syndication side of the house.
Right.
And Multifamily U is the education side of the house. So we're all about
beautiful.
Both.
And would you, you know, Grow Capitus is such a great, it sounds great. Obviously, I believe we all understand the name.
Mm-hmm.
Is Capitus like the word for capital in another language?
Latin.
Exactly.
Yep. And then it's a mashup. So it's G-R-O, no W, C-A-P-I-T-U-S.
Very beautiful spelling.
So it's a mashup together of Grow Capital.
Yeah.
That's a little bit more modernized and a mashup.
So that Grow Capitus group has a strategy where you guys don't actually limit yourself to the work you can do because you have the partners and the education and the analysis and the hacks to create massive wealth for your investors.
We're very, very scalable.
But you scale with partners.
We scale with partners and we also scale with virtual assistants.
Yes.
And I don't know if Neil mentioned that, but we have an army of virtual assistants that we leverage. So we're a very lean shop. It's me and Neil and a couple of part-time workers. We've been mostly on the marketing side.
Mm.
And other than me and Neil and those few people, we've got 9 VAs and we're always growing. So
amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Have so much to learn.
Well, that's why we're coming out to see you. Neil's like, come out and see us at one of
our
meetups.
Yeah, so talk about maximum efficiency. We are through and through maximum efficiency.
Well, that goes to another way to understand capital hacking because your point isn't so much to have the 4-hour work week, even though I've met great people that talk about the 4-hour work week with all these hacks. Mm-hmm. You guys want to have 40 hours or 10 4-hour work weeks. That's kind of the way you're doing it.
Yeah, no, we have 160-hour work week, but that doesn't mean that I'm working 160 hours. I mean, yes, I'm putting in my time, believe me. It's not even 160. It's like 800-hour work week. But we're leveraging the power of our virtual assistants.
And you're doing
and the software. I mean, we have lots of software hacks that we use to keep everybody moving forward in the same way. So, we're technology-based.
And the benefit is your investors. I mean, it benefits your investors. So,
absolutely.
So,
and our tenants, by the way. Don't forget about our tenants.
Tell us about that. Mm.
So we're really all about, if you've got happy tenants, then you've got happy investors, right? They go hand in hand. So a lot of people are all about the investors,
like,
but don't forget about our tenants because we are in the business
it's the object of
creating
your
homes for people.
Right.
And we can't forget about that side. We're not just in the business of making money. We're in the business of making homes.
Right. Love
it. It's a fair trade the way you do that. You talk about your investors the same way you talk about your tenants.
Yes.
Like
so to be continued, since we are people waiting for us downstairs.
Yes.
And it's been such a great time here with you, Anna.
I know. We captured you away and you have to be part of like a VIP event. So this is exciting. We can't wait to come out in California.
What's some of the best ways
guys?
People can reach you after they've heard this story?
The
and they
text message,
more.
Eric.
Well, no, I'm sure there's ways.
So multifamilyu.com is, I know Neil was talking earlier, if you've listened to his about all those webinars, you'll hear my voice over and over again. I host the webinars. So a lot of people, when they meet me, they're like, I know your voice. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Well, you have a face for TV though. You're a beautiful person. So
thank you.
I'm glad you're on webinars too.
they're only audio though. So I have to,
project
my voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What I didn't tell you guys is that the little bit of the story I didn't tell you about my growing up life is I started as a child. I was an actress on stage.
I bet I could tell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got that aura.
Well, you're in California.
And I'm a California girl. Yeah. I grew up in LA. From 8 to 17, I was an actress on stage.
Gotcha. Which kind of things would you have done?
Just children's theater, you know?
Oh, wow. So cool.
Yeah. Wonderful. So anyway, multifamilyu.com is an amazing place to stay in touch with me. Join me on webinars. Anna, which is A-N-N-A at multifamilyu.com, is a great email for me if you'd like to reach out. But join our community. Stay in touch. It's all free, you know, so come build your knowledge and be part of our community.
Awesome. Love it.
It's a pleasure having you here.
Thank you so
much,
Anna.
Oh, by the way, we have a gift for you right after this. Yes. And that's a tease for those of you who are going to be on the show someday.
Awesome.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Wow. Wow. You made it, everybody. Thank you so much. Eric and I have always said that the people who join us at the end get the pearl and the prize.
Awesome. Folks, don't forget to like and share and love what we're doing on social media. If you want to hit up Josh, you want to hit me up, those are the best places to find us. We are always camped out and ready to talk and put the fire on.
We stand by on social media.
Absolutely.
By the way, I know we're on Capital Hacking at Instagram, Capital Hacking on Facebook, and Capital Hacking on my personal favorite, LinkedIn.
Yes, because you can always find major players on LinkedIn. I know your favorite. These are some power players on LinkedIn always.
Gary V, he's my boy.
But Gary V also talks about the power of Instagram. So if you also want to find us there, we're doing a lot of really cool, sexy things on Instagram. So always you can reach out and DM us on Instagram if you have any questions or you want our time. We are always camped out and living there as well.
We will get right back to you. And just like we always say, you are now part of the team. This is a team that's here to add value to your life. And thank you for adding so much value to our life. Remember to share this podcast. Helps us grow it bigger and bigger each week. And we appreciate you posting a review on iTunes. You cannot believe how powerful that is.
Absolutely. Like and share this with anyone and everyone that you think it will add value to. And we appreciate all of that love and support. And do not forget, with great power comes
great responsibility.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.